You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. This episode is brought to you by State Farm. If you're a small business owner, you know that it isn't just your business, it's your life. And whatever your business might be, you want someone who understands. That's why you might want to check out State Farm Small Business Insurance. Why? Because State Farm agents are small business owners too, living and working in your community. That means they know what it takes to help you personalize your policies for your small business needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hi, everyone. This is Pivot from the Vox Media Podcast Network. I'm Kara Swisher.
And I'm Scott Galloway, coming to you from our nation's capital today, Kara.
Are you? What were you doing there?
I had a breakfast with about a dozen congressmen and congresswomen and a few senators. And then I met with another senator to talk about big tech. What
so
else?
Let's hear about what happened. Why were they all together for a breakfast? I just was in Washington. Now I'm in New York City. But what was the breakfast about?
So there's a breakfast that's hosted by the Aspen Institute, and it's every, Thursday morning for the last, 30 years, where they bring in a speaker on a topic of interest, and it's you speak for 15 minutes, and then they throw questions at you, and it's actually a really nice environment, and this was all about big tech.
And what was your message? What was your message to these congresspeople?
Well, you know my message. My message is that these organizations have become invasive species. They are Sith lords who started out benign and then turned to the dark side of the force. And unless we arm you, our representatives, with insight and data and the backbone and wherewithal to break up what have become invasive species, that we're going to continue to kill innovation in our country. Our tax base is going to erode. The middle class is going to continue to experience flat wages, that the government is here to serve the governed, not the governors, and these companies have become the governors. And
so the Sith Lords, that's really interesting. I just had Shoshana Zuboff on talking about this. She has a book called Surveillance Capitalism, where she has exactly the same messages, the hijacking of everything by these companies, and for even more dire predictions from her in terms of what's going to happen. Do they hear you? Do they, because you know I've been banging this drum for a while too, so do they hear your messaging?
Well, I'm curious to get your take. My take, and I'm new to Washington. I've been here 10 times in my life and 5 times in the last month. They hear you, they agree, they nod their head, and they are totally befuddled as to what to do about it. Because, the scary thing is I think they're outgunned. One, they're outgunned by complexity. These are difficult problems to understand. Only 7% of our electorate has a background in technology or engineering, so they're just sort of, they're intimidated by the subject material. And two, Amazon has 88 full-time lobbyists in D.C., and you've written about this. The one area of each of the big tech organizations' spending that's increased faster than R&D, hiring, is lobbying. So when the legislation that bans sex trafficking and puts platforms like Backpage out of business and gets a 97-1 vote in favor, you think, well, that's bipartisan. That should work. There's now an organization challenging that and trying to take it to the Supreme Court, worried that any inhibition of what a platform could do could be bad for them. And that organization is a front for Google. So even when it comes to sex trafficking, Google is willing to spend a lot of money to fight it
because it's
they
the point,
think it might be
Scott.
Bad.
It's the point, Scott. It's really astonishing how these people have changed. Their love of money and power is so profound, and they pretend they don't have it. It's really quite fascinating. And they do think it's being better for the world. They do think they're being better for the world. And in fact, they're eroding democracy and all parts of it at a quantumly fast rate. I'm so hopped up right now after talking to Shoshana Zuboff because I think, she's a longtime studier of these issues. And, you start to see it and we sort of are captive of it and are giving over information in ways that we don't even realize. And for free stuff, for sure. But it's also the people that I think at their heart, people do think about this. It's just not a sexy political campaign topic. You can't say, hey, I'm going to save your data for you. Like, the healthcare is the things that people care about and things like that. But this is in a lot of ways more damaging to our, from the bottom that we don't have control and we get manipulated, and from the top that we don't, we're made stupid by this. But if we're not smart enough to participate, we're on the outside of it. So it's a really difficult thing to sell, I think, from these political point of view.
But you brought up a key point, and Wired did some fantastic reporting on this, and that is the traditional argument against the breakup of these guys is that because antitrust is based on consumer harm, and the primary metric for determining consumer harm or lack thereof is price. And they say, well, Amazon's brought down prices, and Google and Facebook are free for their users. But they're looking at it the wrong way, because think about the Facebook apps. Have they improved dramatically? Are they changed from a consumer standpoint over the last 2 or 3 years? I would argue not a heck of a lot. But think about the price we're starting to pay around these things. Think about the price of privacy. Think about the price we're paying as parents with teen depression. Think about the price we're paying as citizens that our elections have potentially been contaminated. Think about the increased price we're paying, and not only a violation of our privacy, but the fact, the fear and anxiety that these platforms might be weaponized. So I would argue, and the argument I made to our representatives this morning, is that the price of these organizations, the price of this product has skyrocketed. And the reason the reason the prices have skyrocketed is because they can increase these prices because they're monopolies. We just don't see it as pricing in the traditional sense. And also that the end consumer for Google and Facebook is P&G and Ford. And look at the pricing to buy keywords or things on Facebook. So I find that our elected representatives, and I'm naive, I'm not jaded yet, I find they're earnest, smart, thoughtful people who want to do the right thing. And I just worry, Kara, I worry that they're outgunned.
Right, I think so too. But you know, we push back cigarette manufacturers. Remember when they were Ascendant or, you know, chemical, you know, they come back, of course, when the Trump administration, they're rolling back all kinds of, you know, pollution standards and stuff, but they always come back. The forces of retrograde in this country are so strong and so irritating that we can't stop them. But I do think, you know, it's really interesting that both Senator Klobuchar and Senator Warren have, when they announced their candidacies for president, whether they win or not, antitrust was one of them. And a lot of them are hostile, a lot of, especially the Democratic candidates. And Trump is hostile in a weird way to tech, but not in any effective way. He just sort of rails on Twitter, of all places. But all of them have some questions about tech, for sure. I don't know if they'll do anything about it, but they certainly are saying things, especially Klobuchar in her announcement this weekend.
What did you think of her announcement? I thought it was interesting from an imagery standpoint, her in the snow.
I love the snow.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool.
I thought she's interesting. I mean, it was all like, of course, there were all these interesting stories all of a sudden that popped up about, you know, coffee cup throwing, but whatever.
You know what the worst flex in her speech, though, is she's like trying to rile everybody. For all the Americans that want liberty, for all the people that want their children to have a better life, for all the seniors that want access to more affordable prescription medication. Oh, my God, that was the worst flex in the world.
Yeah. Well, you know, she's an interesting candidate. I think she's one of the worst stories that came out was that the Republicans love her. Like, and you're like, no, that's bad for the, you know, the Ocasio wing of the Democratic Party. So that was an interesting, that'll be an interesting fight between the left and the middle, the left side and the sort of middle side of the Democratic Party. But I think they all do stand, like Ocasio and others do, are sort of anti-tech in a really interesting way and are bringing up very much needed criticisms. And even Trump does, but he doesn't, there's no follow through on anything. He has a lizard sense of the problem, I think, in many ways. So we'll see. We'll see bipartisanship. So you did a bonus hot take on this, but I think we're done with Bezos and his penis.
I'm just trying to get your attention. I'm just flirting with people without you trying to get your attention. Kara, as Carly Simon said, don't you know I'm beautiful to strangers? Don't you know? Notice, Kara.
No, I think where are we with Bezos and the penis situation? I think we'll see how it happens, like where it goes, right?
Okay.
Correct, so to speak.
This stuff. Well, first off, I think that we need to acknowledge that the problem isn't Jeff Bezos sending out his junk. It's that the rest of us in technology have not been sending out pictures of our junk. So I just want to warn now. My Christmas card, Kara, is from Big Ed and the Twins. It's coming your way in December.
No,
you
better not.
That's the problem. That's the problem.
Absolutely. You sexist pig. I will have you arrested.
There you go.
All right, we're thinking about this thing, but whether he got it, whether it was the brother-in-law, whether it was this, it still was good that he brought it up. And obviously, it was a fantastic skit on SNL with Meet the Press and a fake the Chuck Todd and the discussing of the penis. It was very, very funny.
I know normally high-minded journalists wouldn't talk about something like this, but it does involve the richest man in America and the president of the United States. So, Jeff Bezos' penis. What do you think it's going to look like?
You know, I'm going to jump right in, Chuck. Now, when I hear billionaire's penis, I immediately think small potatoes. You know, it's like they say, if it's small and looks funny, you better have the money, honey.
I find this whole Bezos thing just uber fascinating on a bunch of levels. And mm-hmm. I think there's two interesting things. So, Kara, name the most famous female CEO. Like, who comes to mind?
Sheryl Sandberg. Sheryl Sandberg.
Okay, Sheryl Sandberg.
Oh, CEO. CEO. She's not a CEO. Probably.
Not a lot of them, right?
Ginni Rometty, I guess. Not famous, but Indra Nooyi.
Okay, let's take those two. I won't even use their name. What if one of these individuals had been sending pictures of their genitalia out to their boyfriend with four kids not and married? Good. Would that woman have survived that? Would she?
No, of course. You're kidding. She'd be in the stock. She'd be in the stock in the main square, and people would be throwing garbage at her.
It would be a very different situation. So there's a weird.
Oh, we've noticed sexism in our society. How nice
just
of you to check in.
Just catching up.
Would you like to know about how gay people have been mistreated? 7,000 people. Would you like the lesson on that one?
7,000 years later. Mm-hmm. By the way, Fox is going after you, and I've decided I am no longer going
please.
On Tucker Carlson.
It's just Tucker.
You know why, Kara? Because I've decided I am of Kara. They called you a handmaiden. Okay. I am of Kara. I am with you. I will jump in front of that plastic bullet called the Tucker weapon. I am willing. No, Kara. Tucker Carlson's producer, do not call me. I am of Kara.
What a twit he is, isn't he? He's ridiculous.
It's
if he was factual, it would be all right. You know
it's
what I mean?
Bad.
Like, he could say a lot of things about me, but it's all not factual. The second part is, like, the most elite person, he's just a ridiculous clown. He's just a ridiculous clown.
I knew I'd get you going.
Clown.
I knew I'd get you going.
He's just awful. He's awful. I tape a little bit right near in Washington, and I always take pictures saying, I'm in the building, Tucker. I'm around. I'm here. I think he has a crush on me. That's what I think. I've decided. He has a weird
okay, so
on me.
Speaking of dicks, back to Bezos. So
first thing. HQ2. I don't want to talk about HQ2.
There's something very interesting.
HQ2, is it going to happen?
Something very interesting.
Are they going to, so to speak, get it up? Are they going to get that headquarters up?
I'm on a roll. Feel me on this. The other thing that's really interesting
HQ2.
Here.
HQ2.
I promise I'll get there. The other thing that's really interesting is he said
you have only a few minutes.
He said that owning the Washington Post was a complexifier. It's not a complexifier, it's a save-as-assifier, because the thing I have noticed about this is that Bezos is considered a responsible steward for the Washington Post. There is a reservoir of goodwill towards him from journalists, and every journalist has sided with him. They see him as a hero. And
Tucker didn't like that.
I can't help but feel like, is this guy really a hero? I appreciate the fact he's kicking back. He's like the guy who stole a car, and then the DA tried to get him to cop to a murder deal, and the criminal said, you know what, I'm not going to take this abuse, and now this person is a hero. But let's remember, this guy
screwed
up.
He's a mixed bag with journalists. You can be that. You can do that. That's okay. I don't love him for the HQ Stew stuff. I don't love him for the information grab.
You guys are slobbering over Jeff Bezos right now.
No, not at all. No. I think the gimmies for the New York thing, I'm totally on the Ocasio side on this one.
Yeah, I don't know. 100%. Okay, so you want to talk about
Queens. We can have two arguments in our head, like and dislike someone at the same time.
You go first. What do you think is going to happen
in New York? HQ2. I think it's in danger. I think it's possibly in danger. Unless Amazon gives, and Amazon doesn't like to give.
Yeah.
They don't have to give.
Yeah.
With the Staten Island's offering up Staten Island and stuff like that. What do you think?
So I don't know, because I don't feel like I'm in touch with New York politics. I just think Andrew Cuomo is the worst poker player ever. I genuinely believe that we forget these companies are run by humans. Their algorithms drive them, but they're run by humans. And I believe that Jeff Bezos at 55 years old worth $150 billion wants to be within a helicopter ride of the Disneyland for a billionaire who's 55, and that is New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he's going to figure out a way to maintain momentum in his midlife crisis by having HQ2A be somewhere within a helicopter ride or a town car ride of Manhattan.
What about Hoboken? Hoboken, Staten Island. He could do a lot of things.
He wants to be. Right? It's like if I told my 8-year-old we can live anywhere, he would say, oh, great, we can live anywhere as long as it's within riding distance or a bike ride of Universal Studios. He's obsessed with Universal. Right. I think a 55-year-old single man wants to be within spitting distance of Manhattan. So I think they're going to figure it out.
All right. All right. Okay. He seems more like a Brooklyn character to me. Anyway, when we get back, we are going to talk more about these things. When we get back, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be talking about fails and wins and some predictions.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You've heard it before. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. But it's more than just a tagline. Because State Farm agents are small business owners themselves who live and work in your community. And if you're in the market for small business insurance, who better to work with than an agent who understands what it takes? State Farm agents can help you create a personalized insurance plan that fits your small business needs and budget. Talk to your local State Farm agent today about small business insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Wow, that guy means business.
Just an amazing player.
No, not him, the sports photographer behind him.
What?
He has a business bank account with QuickBooks Money where he earns 5% annual percentage yield, so he's scoring big on and off the field. You might even say he's the MVB.
MVB?
The most valuable business.
Making your money work harder. That's how you business differently. Intuit QuickBooks. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Okay, we're back with Scott Galloway, who's down in D.C. lobbying our various representatives, and I'm in New York City. Wins and fails this week. We're here to do that. I would say I'm going to go up first because I think the win was a hashtag Kara Jack, and yet it was also a fail. So we can do a rundown of what I learned from him, which was very little, but it was really interesting. And I don't know if you paid attention to it, but much of the internet did. And it was a goat rodeo. It was a clusterfuck. It was fascinating. So tell me what you think of Kara Jack.
So you call it a win loss or a win lose?
Yeah.
So
I think I won.
Yeah.
I don't know. There were some things he said, and there were a lot of insights when I kept saying be specific, and he wasn't. I think people understood the difficulties of our job. And I think he did say a few things, including I think something that a lot of people were sort of disturbed by, which was picking Elon Musk as his favorite Twitter personality, which I think was an interesting choice. But other people felt it was exactly indicative of the problems because Elon has such a complex history on Twitter, both bad and good. So what do you think? I'd love to know your thoughts.
So you call it a win-lose, and I think you're half right. I thought it was awful, and I think that it was like watching C-SPAN in Chinese. It was both boring yet confusing. I just didn't, I found the whole thing ridiculous. I tuned in because I like you, and I was interested to see what he might say. But the problem is, these people realize that there's no defense for what they're doing. So they employ communications tactics like, I'll testify in front of Congress as long as I can play beat the clock and say a bunch of gibberish for 5 minutes and then go on to the next person.
There was a lot of gibberish going on.
And he did, quite frankly, I think he played us, and I'll say us, because when you give him questions via Twitter, he can say bullshit like, our policy on hate speech has evolved. What the fuck does that mean?
Yes.
And you would try and press him, and he couldn't be pressed because he wasn't sitting across the desk for you. So it to me, it is obscene that an individual who is responsible for the algorithms that create some of the most important or influential media in the world is shit scared of the media and won't come on your show. So Jack,
he
does not get a pass. Come on the show. He said he wants to branch out. You are the branch. Come on the show. So
I can't hijack him, for goodness sake. I can't. But the thing is, I don't totally agree. I think there was one. People saw the lack of transparency. One, two. They saw that a lot of people understood the bullshit. It was talked about a lot how he did that. Some people had very funny versions of it. Felix Salmon had a really funny tweet and stuff like that. But you're right. They obfuscate and they find ways to get around it. And I think the medium, one of the things that was very indicative was that the CEO of Twitter didn't know how to use Twitter or couldn't use Twitter or couldn't, it wasn't able to have a conversation, and their whole focus is conversations. And so I think that's, to me, for example, in the Mark Zuckerberg Bloomberg podcast when he couldn't answer the question of how he felt about the deaths in Myanmar and India. It indicated something. It was a very big moment for people to go, oh, he can't articulate it. And I think in those white space moments, you get just as much information about these people and little tiny bits of it. And I get that I get they're obfuscating. I get they're trying to run away from real encounters with real people and real journalists. But they don't win. I don't think that was a win for him at all, though you might.
No.
Because I don't think
it was reminiscent of Sheryl Sandberg's talk at DLD. And that is, by the end of it, everybody was bored yet angry. And it just didn't do him. He didn't do himself any favors. So if you want to be CEO of a large media company and you want to pretend to take responsibility, then you know, then stiffen up, put on a tie, bring the nose ring and the beard down, and talk to Kara and meet her handmaid.
There are fewer and fewer people who want to meet with me, but that's okay. I don't care. I still have some power. So, but I think it is interesting. You know, we have done a lot of interviews, and he does show up compared to many people. And actually, one of the things, the only thing that I thought was relatively, he's not easily offended. A lot of these other people I have to deal with their offense at my mean questions. And he is not someone who gets offended. And that's a pleasure, I have to say, compared to other people. You know, he's a professional in that manner.
I don't think that's it.
Listen, it's just a small
I think he's actually very offended. I just think he has a lot of Botox and you can't register his emotions as well.
You can't see. You couldn't tell. He has that nice beard going on.
I don't think you can
tell.
All
right, moving on to another fail. This Esquire magazine cover story profiling the white American boy in the age of Trump during Black History Month. I had a little few tweets about this. Any thoughts?
You know, Esquire, let's go grab a highball with Angie Dickinson after the Johnny show. It's just, why do we care? I think Esquire's done some good work. I actually like the people there. I think they've done an amazing job staying relevant, but it's literally like, let's go buy a Cadillac. I mean, I gotta admit, I love Esquire because I like the old school stuff, but why does Kara Swisher care what Esquire puts on its cover?
Because it's ridiculous. They're just like, I don't like is like how they're like, oh my God, we're being, this one of this editor's DMs was, he publicly did a DM, which is like, shows you exactly how much they love, you know, you're right, Angie Dickinson is right. What is this internet thing? And it just was like this typical, like they just knew, like, can you just like have just some awareness of the modern age? That's just a tiny bit. Maybe you start with a black kid on the cover of the first one. Like, or whatever, just something different. And they wanted to be controversial and then they didn't want the controversy, which is irritating. If you're going to go out there, you know, all these whining journalists about how they're attacked, I'm just like, please. Like, I have to deal with Tucker Carlson, for fuck's sake. Like, just suck it up. Like, suck up the criticism and expect it when you do something like that. That's my feeling.
I think I have more empathy for that kind of tone-deaf stupidity that constantly emerges from white, male, heterosexual. Keep in mind, Kara, and I hope this makes you more patient with me. When I first moved to Laguna, before my parents got divorced, hold me. But anyways, before they split up, we got this thing called cable TV. And you know what I watch 4 times a day, 2 hours a day for an 8-year-old developing male mind? Literally, this is not true. I Dream of Jeannie. That's what I was raised on. Yes, master. Jeannie, get to your bottle. So no, I deserve some forgiveness. No. I've come
none.
A long
you
way.
None. You people want I've no. Come. You get none. I had to have no.
My sensitivity training was the Partridge Family.
All right, whatever. Whatever. You know, I had a long discussion about Ben Shapiro with my 13-year-old, which was a nightmare of enormous proportions. Like, I'm just saying, this stuff works online. This, like, sort of bullshit works online. And it just is exhausting. All right, we've got to go because we have very limited time.
I didn't get to my wins or my predictions.
I'm going to do. What is your wins? Very quickly.
Okay.
Wins and
so my win.
You've got five minutes.
Scripted, the defining era of our of this age or the defining art form is television. And a TV show that I just absolutely adore is Modern Family. And in the midst of all this noise about Amazon, they announced they're going to have their final season next year. And I am watching all 11 seasons with my two boys, and it makes us all feel closer as a family. I think the amalgam of creativity, writing, great acting is just wonderful. And I would like to play a clip. I don't know if
I had the showrunner and creator of it, Steve Levitan, on Code many years ago.
Genius. But there's one clip I'd like to play, and it's Jay Pritchard, who plays who is played by Ed O'Neill. He's the patriarch of the family, and the episode is about wearing your emotions on your sleeves or keeping your emotions bottled up. And in this scene, he's talking about when his father passed away.
Feelings. I didn't even cry at his funeral. You believe that? The guy was my whole world. Not a tear. Everybody looking at me like I didn't love him. But he knew. He had to know, right?
Of course he did.
Son of a bitch, that felt good, didn't it? Huh?
Wow.
I know. They just want therapy.
All right, Scott, what did you get from that?
That show at our age, Kara, you know what I want from media? I want to feel something, and Modern Family makes me feel something every week.
Okay, well, that's what media is supposed to do, and it's when it's good.
I thought it was supposed to make us think. I wanted to feel. I'm done thinking.
Well, I went and saw Aquaman, and it didn't make me feel anything except that guy's
real. That guy's hot.
You know, that was a lot of movie. I had to say I did get my whatever $29 worth in terms of stuff. It was a big, it was a lot. There was a lot going on there. But you're right. You do want to feel something. You do. You know, like how you felt watching Black Panther. Whenever it's done really well, it really, media is wonderful. Most of the time it makes people sick these days, unfortunately. Predictions.
Okay,
Barry Diller
one prediction.
Coming in, and he does not wait. Let me just tell you. He does not
I am so scared of Barry Diller. The two of you together.
You should. That's like we're doing Genghis a podcast to talk about his thing in the river here in New York. And he has lots of things to say. I love interviewing Barry Diller.
Yeah, so. That'll be a good one. So, okay, my prediction, I'm in D.C.
I'm going to send him after you if you're...
No. I was literally just thinking, say nothing about me. That guy scares the shit out of me.
He should. So predictions, please. Besides, you'll be dead if we don't hurry.
Okay, so in the next 30 to 60 days, a new candidate for president on the Democrat side announces and becomes the front runner or maybe the number two, and it's somebody that 95% of the American public has never heard of.
Who?
And
what are you doing, Obama? Who is it?
No, that's close. It's Senator Bennett from Colorado.
Oh, I just had lunch with him. Yes, he's fascinating. Not lunch, we had coffee. Yes, he's really interesting. That's a really interesting man. He's very eggheady, though. I like him. I like his little egghead moves.
Character over charisma, centrist candidate that's not a billionaire. Colorado is the most likable state in the world. This is a guy who's genuinely concerned with the middle class. He's an odd person, married once, wonderful family, school superintendent, wants to double down on capitalism. And the most important criteria, he checks the box. Wow. All of us Democrats are going to come to the conclusion that there's only one criteria, and that is who can beat Trump. And 70% taxes and Medicare for all is a way to reelect Trump. This guy is a capitalist. He's got business experience. He cares. He's into the middle class.
All right. I like
Senator Michael Bennett.
I do. You know, it's interesting. My son yelled down from upstairs yesterday, "Do you know this Michael Bennett person?" I just watched his speech, you know, when he was yelling at whatever.
At Cruz? Oh, my God. That was amazing.
These crocodile tears that the senator from Texas is crying for first responders are too hard for me to take. They're too hard for me to take. Because when the senator from Texas shut this government down in 2013, my state was flooded. It was underwater. People were killed. People's houses were destroyed. Their small businesses were ruined forever.
And my son was like, "I like him." And he was, my son who's voting in 2020 was liking the Kamala. He liked Kamala. Now he likes Michael Bennett, which was really interesting. That was
really? Louis likes that Senator
said,
Bennett.
You know, I let me do full disclosure here. His brother is James Bennett, who I work for at the New York Times. He's the head of the
opinion section.
Is
that disclosure or name dropping? I like that. Name dropping hidden in disclosure.
No, you have to. It's going to be an issue. It's going to be run the opinion section, New York Times, in the middle of a presidential election. It's going to be an issue.
So you and I are going to host a fundraiser for Senator Bennett. And you're going to have interesting people, and I'm going to invite hot people. And you know why I like to have hot people at parties?
I would be happy to have coffee with him and give him my thoughts on the internet, but no thank you. I'm not raising any money for
him. Come on.
Thank you very
much. Come on.
No,
I am of Kara. Look at me.
Yeah, well, you can go. All right, I have to go. Right. Scott, I have to go talk to Barry Diller. I'm going to send him your way or his people or his minions.
No, don't do that.
You'll never be heard. You'll be in the Hudson under that island.
I will take on Tucker, not Barry. Send Tucker.
You are out for the next. You are now, go deal with Tucker for me, okay? Go on that show and slap him around. All right, Scott, you're going to be out for the next couple of weeks, globetrotting, so we'll have some guest hosts in your absence who will be, I'm sure, much better than you.
Low bar.
Anyway.
Low bar.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Dubai, Kenya, Tanzania, and Rwanda.
Oh, my God. You're going to Dubai? Yeah. Did you see that story about the princess?
No. Are you shaming me? Should I not be going?
I'm going to go
and spend a lot of money, meet a lot of nice people, and eat some great food.
You need to read that story about them. They're so anti-women. They're so anti-women.
A, I'm not that interested, and B, disturbing. If I read it and they catch it on me, you might not hear from me again.
You need to read it. I'm going to send it to you. You're going to read it before you go. And then where else are you going? Dubai, which I will never go to again, but go ahead.
Dubai's like Vegas minus the charm.
No, I don't want to talk to you. No, you have to read this story. I'm not going to speak to you until you read this story. So what's the other place?
Kenya, Tanzania, and Rwanda. Yeah.
Wow, that's some trip. Fantastic. Are you taking your kids?
It's my wife's birthday, and she's always wanted to go to Africa. So no kids.
All right, bring back some tech and media stories. Bring back some tech and media stories about how they're using the internet and stuff like that. There, I would like some.
I don't want homework.
Perspective.
I don't want homework.
What? Okay, global perspective from those horrible Dubai and those places. Okay. All right. I would love to hear that. Rebecca Sinanis produces his show. Nishat Kurwa is the executive producer. Thanks also to Eric Johnson. Thanks for listening to Pivot from Vox Media. We'll be back next week, more of a breakdown of all things tech and business. If you like what you heard, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. Thanks very much.
Hey everyone, this is Rebecca, Pivot producer extraordinaire. So, as soon as we got out of recording this episode, news broke that Amazon is pulling HQ2 out of New York. So, Kara and Scott are going to come back in for a bonus episode hot take on what all of this means, and it'll be in your feed later today. So, stay tuned for that. And Bezos, if you're listening, quit messing with my production schedule.